Give us grace, who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion, that we may avoid those things that are contrary to our profession, and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today at Eastertide, we continue the celebration and our rejoicing in the victory of Christ over sin, over Satan, and over death, and in our liberty in Him and the gift that He brings to us of the kingdom of God. And we also, as a nation, recognize the gift of mothers, and it's a day set aside to honor our mothers. Of course, this is definitely resonant with our Christian profession, honor thy father and thy mother. And we are also see a deep lesson or a deep teaching brought to us, the eternal truth of God in the importance of motherhood, for the very fact that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us through the cooperation and participation of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So motherhood is exalted among Christians as a high vocation, as one that has been blessed by God Himself, who became incarnate and was held in the arms of His mother, Mary. So today we honor mothers. This week there was a feast day on May 4th for Saint Monica, and she is especially known as the mother of Saint Augustine. So in her motherhood she is recognized and venerated by the Church. Now Saint Monica is known for her patient intercession for her son Augustine. And it's quite a tale that she has to tell. I mean, it was not an easy thing for her to be a Christian mother of Augustine in the late 4th century in what is modern-day Algeria, especially because her husband was pagan and didn't want Augustine baptized, even though she pleaded with him, and he refused. He wanted him to be raised as a pagan and not associated with the Christians. You know, didn't want that. And even when Augustine came close to death in his sickness, he finally relented at Monica's pleading and said Augustine could be baptized, but then the child got better, and so he withdrew his permission. And so Augustine was never baptized in his youth, and then Monica had the heartbreak of seeing him go into a cult called the Manichees. And it was a dualistic cult that didn't have the teachings of Christ. It was heartbreak for her. But she continued steadfast in her love for her son. And we have a lot of information about Monica as a mother because of the very detailed descriptions of her in Augustine's seminal work called Confessions, the Confessions of St. Augustine. So he writes much about his mother, about her patience, her virtue, her love of Christ, her testimony for Christ, her exemplary life. Now, Augustine himself rose to great prominence as a teacher of rhetoric, and he was looking farther afield than his own hometown. So he perhaps gives us some evidence that Monica might have been a little overbearing as a mother, because when he had his chance, he could go to Rome to further his career. He decided to leave at night, not telling her, so that she wouldn't come with him to Rome. Well, eventually she does follow him after the death of her husband, and he is now her caretaker. And as he rises in prominence, he eventually takes the position of teaching up in Milan. And that's where things really change in the history of Monica and her love for her son, her hopes for him to become a Christian, and in the life of Augustine. Because he comes into the milieu of the great Saint Ambrose. So we're talking about three saints here, end of the 4th century, about the year 383. Saint Ambrose was the great bishop of Milan, and Augustine was interested in coming into the cathedral church so that he might, well, a couple of things were advantageous to him. He decided to become a catechumen so he'd be identified as a Christian, because now it was the popular thing to do, and it was socially advantageous, and it was good for his career, because if you're going to teach high officials in the city and they're Christians, they want to have a Christian tutor, and so he could be identified. You could delay your baptism as long as you wanted to, but he could be associated with the cathedral and still, you know, have the public posture of a Christian and still maintain his other life. He also was fascinated by, intrigued by, and respectful of the great Ambrose, who was quite an orator himself. He was known for his eloquence, his erudition, and his contribution to the learning of Christians. Some of it is summed up in his poetry, which we have in our own hymnal, St. Ambrose, the author of some of the hymns in our hymnal. So he wanted to associate with the cathedral church for those reasons, but it must have been heartening for Monica to see her son drawn closer to the company of Christians. Now, there is a signal moment where Monica decides to, as she begins to see these things happening, decides to go and have an audience with the bishop. Maybe it was because she started to feel the advance of her age. It's when life expectancy wasn't too long. She would die in her 50s, but maybe she felt some warning signs of, not much time left. So she went to the great Ambrose to ask for his counsel on what he would recommend for her son Augustine. And he gave her some advice that is well known to this day. He said to her, to Monica, Ambrose said that she would do very well to speak less to her son about God. That seems kind of strange. But he followed it with another phrase that makes more sense. She would do very well to speak less to her son about God, but speak more to God about her son. And so she must have redoubled her efforts in intercessory prayer, and perhaps with tears and crying out. Monica crying with tears, St. Augustine speaks about her praying that way. And, Santa Monica is named after St. Monica, Santa Monica, California. And at some point in Santa Monica's history, they named a spring after her because it was a spring that dripped, like tears falling. So perhaps she prayed with tears for her son, pleading for him. But it wasn't long after that encounter, that meeting with Monica and Ambrose, that Augustine had a wonderful conversion in Milan. Now, he writes about this in great detail in his Confessions, and it's quite a story. He had a friend that was visiting, Alypius. He had brought with him some of the scriptures, some of the writings of St. Paul. They had been speaking about the Christian witness. He had heard about movements, the monastic movements in Egypt, and he was very taken by what was happening there. Example of those who had given all for Christ. He was very moved by hearing about St. Anthony, who was a man of great wealth who had come into the church. He had asked that the Gospels be opened to him, and the first thing he saw was the account of the ruler with Jesus, when Jesus said the one thing he lacked to be perfect, which was he needed to go sell all that he had, give to the poor, and come follow him. And that's what St. Anthony did. Anthony saw that gospel message as the gospels were open to him as a word to him personally. He took care of his sister, set her in the care of, made sure she was taken care of, and sold all of his family's riches that he had inherited and went into the desert as a hermit. Augustine was very taken by these examples, and he began to be troubled in his own soul about his own life, which was given over to sensual pleasures. He was living at that point in an unmarried state. He had a child he conceived with a woman outside marriage. He had his own, likes with sensual delights that had a grip on him. But at a certain point, he was very tormented. When we use the word in our confession, miserable sinners, it's not that we're trying to berate people, we're just calling it like it is. When a person is in the clutches of sin and they can't get out, they're not free, it makes them miserable because it brings guilt upon them. It begins to cripple their capacity to love. They can't be free. Instead, they are in bondage. So they're miserable. And Augustine was in such a state, so much so that on a particular day, he said to himself in a prayer, why am I waiting so long? Why am I in the clutches of these sins? Why do they have such a hold on me? Why? What am I waiting for? Why can't I just put these things behind me? And it was for him a great struggle. Augustine is famous for the saying, the prayer, O Lord, make me a saint, but not yet. So he was hesitating, and he cried out in an anguish. He was so disturbed, he left his friend in the house, went out in the garden, fell under a fig tree, said he was pulling his hair, he was beating his head with his fist, he curled up in a ball, pulled his knees to his chest, he was really, you know, in an agony of distress of spirit. And he heard over the wall a little child singing. And the child was singing, take it and read, take it up and read. And he was thinking, have I ever heard that? Is that a nursery rhyme? Do I know that? Take it up and read. And he thought, it must be for me. So he looked around what he might take up and read. And there was the collection of St. Paul's epistles on the table in the garden. So he took the book, and like the example from St. Anthony, he opened up to the first scripture that he could see, and it was from Romans 13, where St. Paul is saying, giving the exhortation, that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, now in this present time, now. And so he was encouraged by this message from scripture, speaking to him, to his soul, in that time and place, the living word that convicted him, that he should cast off the works of darkness, that he should not be beholden anymore, living a life of drunkenness and sensuality, but instead he should put on the Lord Jesus Christ, not making provision for the lusts of the flesh, but instead living unto God. And in that moment he found his freedom. And so he left his sinful life behind him, claimed Christ, came into the house, and announced to his mother Monica that he had come to conversion. So it's glorious to see this patient intercession, the love of Monica for her son, bear such fruit that he would come to conversion. May 4th is the feast of Saint Monica, the mother of Augustine, and she's recognized as the patron saint of mothers. So the patron saint of mothers. And then May 5th, in Cinco de Mayo, there's no particular Cinco de Mayo in the Missal. Instead, it's the conversion of St. Augustine, the conversion of St. Augustine, because of his coming to Christ by the agency of the Holy Spirit moving through the patient intercessory prayers and tears of his mother Monica. So what do we see here? We see motherly love for Augustine, and it brings such fruit. Augustine eventually enters into Christian service. He's saved to good works. He becomes the Bishop of Hippo, which is in modern-day Tunisia, northern Africa. He's a great defender of orthodoxy against the heretics. He establishes an order of life for his clergy that eventually is known as the Augustinian Rule. His influence over Western Christianity, you could say, is massive, and that would be an understatement. So her patient intercession liberated, by the grace of God, liberate a soul to do great things in the kingdom of God here on earth. And so we recognize that. Something I think you see in Monica is the love of a mother, not just for her son's well-being, for his physical health, for his emotional health, but also for his soul and spirit. She's pleading for him as a Christian sister, one who wants to see him come to redemption. And so she is mother to his soul. So we see combined in her the motherly love of one who cares for body, soul, and spirit of her son. Today we have opportunity to give God humble thanks for our mothers, and for the mothers who brought us into this world through the great pain and peril of childbearing, and that there was one who cried out for us and brought us into this world. Also to give thanks for those mothers in our lives who have been very patient intercessors. And it can expand out to others. Perhaps you've had somebody who has cried tears for you to bring you to salvation, that God would bring you to a place of conversion. And we can give God humble thanks for those patient intercessors who were so diligent in their laboring for us on the spiritual level. And so with glad hearts, let us see, and with gratitude, give God thanks for those who have loved us as mothers in our lives, and see in them an expression of God's love. For the source of all love is God Himself, who is patiently loving us through our mothers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.